To Proverbs chapter 23, and we're going to set before us a text there beginning in verse 6 where the Word of God says, "Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." Now, in this text, we're introduced to, and earlier he's talked about sitting down to eat with a ruler and to be careful there as well. But now he talks about sitting down and eating with a miser, with somebody who is selfish. Someone who is greedy. He says this miserly, distrusting person promises much, but he deceptively conceals his true intentions. Look, he says, don't desire his delicacies, because it's as he thinks in his heart that he really is. He'll tell you, eat and drink, but that's not really what's in his heart. You see, what's really in his heart is the envy and selfishness of egoism. He seeks to retain it all for himself. He says eat and drink, but he doesn't really want you to touch his stuff. He's a miser. He's greedy. So what he says is not who he really is. You see that? That's what that verse means. You see, he says eat and drink, but that's not really who he is. He is what he thinks, and what he thinks is not what he appears to be at first. So he says, be careful. Because if you do, if you don't take that into account, you're going to vomit up what you eat. There's not going to be any pleasure in that kind of an association. You see, the intentions of the heart can only be concealed for so long. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The heart reveals who the person really is. It reveals the man. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 5, verses 24 and 25. And see with me that this is a very simple and basic principle. That it's what we think in our heart that of who we really are. And Paul alludes to this when he says in 1 Timothy 5, 24, "Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgments. But those of some men follow after. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden." Some men, the sins of some are very obvious and very apparent, but others are hidden. Some not so much. But he says, all of them will follow to the day of judgment. Likewise, we can see the good works of some. They become evident over time. You see, what's in the heart begins to be revealed in how someone lives, whether for good or for bad. He says, if it's otherwise, you're not going to hide it for long. The miser over there in Proverbs 23, not going to hide for long that when he tells you eat and drink, that's really not what's in his heart. You see. And we need to understand that what is in the heart is not going to, or let me put it this way, what's in the heart is going to come out in our words and in our actions. Not only ours, but in others. And so he says, we need to be aware of that. We need to know that. The intentions of the heart can only be concealed for so long if those intentions are evil. And if the intentions are good, that will be evident as well. Now, Jeremiah warns of a deceitful heart. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, Jeremiah's words, a prophet says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, I, the Lord, search the hearts. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." God knows my heart. God knows your heart. God's going to give us according to what's in our hearts. Who can know it but Him? That's the point. God is speaking through His prophet. This is God saying this. And so He says in verse 7, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." Don't trust the heart. It's deceitful. You know, we are convinced in our society, and pretty much in every society, man convinces himself to trust himself. God says no. Who are you trusting this morning? You trusting what you feel? Are you confident with what's inside your heart? Or will you let God put into your heart what ought to be there? See, that's part of the lesson for us here ourselves this morning. And to understand that the heart can deceive us and lead us into sin. And so we must be very cautious and careful and really attuned to what we are thinking, because that becomes who we are. What you're thinking becomes who you are. Are you a child of God or a child of the devil? That's going to hinge upon what you're thinking, because what you are thinking in your heart is going to reveal itself in the words you say and in the actions of your life. Jesus saw that with those that He was confronting in John, the 8th chapter. Now, these were some Jews who said they believed in Him. And yet, by their conduct and their obvious resistance to Jesus, it was evident He was not in their hearts. The passage begins in verse John 8 and 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love Me." They didn't love Jesus. "For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of Myself, but He sent Me. Why do you not understand My speech? Because you're not able to listen to My word." Well, why couldn't they listen to His words? Why couldn't they comprehend and grasp and understand what He was saying to them? Here's why. Verse 44. "You are of your father, the devil." Now watch it. "The desires of your father you want to do." Where do you decide to want to do something? In your heart. It's in your heart you decide. We decide to do things in our hearts. Jesus said, "You're of the devil because you want to do his desires." You see? He was a murderer from the beginning, and he goes on to elaborate. There was no truth in him. You see, by their words and their deeds, they were showing themselves to be children of the devil. In 1 John 3, John elaborates upon this same principle when he says in verse 6, "Whoever abides in Him does not sin." That is, does not practice sin. He doesn't mean he never commits a sin. He's talking about the habit of sin here, the course of conduct of one's life. If you abide in Christ, you do not have the habit of sin, you see. You're walking in the light, chapter 1 and 7. "Whoever sins," that is, has the habit of sin, we'll see this as he goes on, "has neither seen Him nor known Him." If he was just talking about a single sin, then that would mean a Christian, whenever they sin, means they never knew God. That's not what he's describing. He's talking about somebody's course of conduct. And that habit of life comes from what's in our hearts. "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous." You see the practices part? Just as He is righteous. The one who practices righteousness is righteous. Why? Because his heart's given to doing the desires of the Father who is in heaven. And so he walks in the light. He practices truth. 1 John 1 and verse 6. He practices righteousness. Here, verse 7. "He who sins is of the devil, and the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this person, the Son of God, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin." Again, does not practice sin. He practices righteousness. "For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin." That is, he cannot have the practice of sin, because when he finds sin, he confesses it to God. 1 John 1 and verse 9. Because he's been born of God. You see, here's a person whose heart is given to God. And so when he finds sin, he repents of it. He confesses it. 1 John 1, 9. And so he does not have the habit of sin. If I have the habit of sin, I am a child of the devil. That's what the verse says. Why? Because it's what's in my heart. What's in your heart? It'll be found in the way you live. Let's look at the proverb. "As a man thinks." You see, we decide what kind of person we will be. We decide. No one forces you to be a person you don't want to be. We decide it. David noted that in his prayer to the Father, to God, in Psalm 19:14. Look at how he sums up that psalm. He said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let my words, let what I think about, what my I meditate upon be acceptable in your sight. David is making a choice in this prayer. He is pleading for acceptance from God, but he knows that he fundamentally will decide what words come out of his mouth. They will express what's on his heart. So he prays that what he is thinking and meditating upon in his heart is right before God, is acceptable to God, so that the words that come from his mouth will convey that acceptability, will convey those things that rely upon God as his strength and Redeemer. See, David was deciding what kind of person he would be. The Bible, when it says that, when God says David was a man after God's own heart, God didn't just one day just say, "Well, David, you're going to have a heart. I'm going to choose you to have that heart, and you know, Saul, I'm going to make him have a different heart. But I'm going to give you this." That's Calvinism. We're going to talk about that Wednesday night. Lauren and I are talking about that. No. David chose to have the heart he had. Saul chose to have the heart he had. And you and I choose the kind of heart we're going to have. We make the choice. We decide as a man thinks. We decide what to think. We decide what we're going to think. Look at Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 5. That seem too simple? I don't think it's too simple. Because I think today we're very adept at rationalizing our thoughts and blaming everything else around us as being the source of what we're thinking. We need to become wise. We need to have the wisdom to know that if those are my thoughts, they belong to me. They're what I'm thinking, and I can decide what I'm going to think before I ever decide what I'm going to say and what I'm going to do. Yeah, it's basic. It's fundamental. It gets right down to who we are. And that's the point of the lesson, isn't it? You are what you think. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, and let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Look, let your heart keep my commands. That is a decision Solomon wanted his son to make. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You make the decision, son, to put these on your heart and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Again, the decision must be made. Trust the Lord with all your heart. You see, he mentioned heart three times in those six verses. Telling his son, put this on your heart. Write it on your heart. Trust God with all your heart. Because what you think in your heart is going to define who you are. It's going to define who you are. God made us upright, but we followed after many schemes, many devices. Ecclesiastes 7:29. God made us without sin. We were tempted and we yielded to sin. We gave our thoughts to sin. And then we committed it. That's what James 1 says. Each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. We're drawn away by our own desires. Our own. We've got to take ownership. Drawn away by his own lust and enticed. He goes on to say that when the lust is conceived, it bears sin, and the sin when it's full grown brings forth death. See, we are what we think. If we refuse to be driven by our desires, by sinful desires, then we resist sin. We reject temptation. We got to take ownership that what's in our heart defines who we are, because it lays the groundwork of the choices we make in our lives. We decide what kind of person we will be. That's how fundamental this is. One person said, where the mind goes, the man follows. Now, I kind of hate to quote this person, Joyce Meyer. You know who she is, that televangelist woman. But you know, even the ungodly can have something to say once in a while. Some of the Athenian poets did too. Paul quoted them. Where the mind goes, the man follows. She's a false teacher, but she got that right. Why? Because God said it. Where the mind goes, the man follows. So where's your mind going? This is our application. What are you reading? Where's your mind going? What are you reading? Are you reading the gossip trash in the grocery store checkout line? That gonna build you up? That gonna strengthen you spiritually? That gonna help you have a godly influence? What are you reading? Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let God's word dwell in your hearts. Put it up, treasure it up. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, David said. Look at 1 Timothy 4 and 13. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And again, dropping down to 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. What are you reading? Because you see, we read with our mind. We are ingesting information when we read. And it's as we think that we define who we are. So be careful to be reading things that facilitate godliness, but rather than putting before us those things that facilitate evil. What are you watching? What are you watching? In John 4 and 35, it's interesting to me what Jesus said He wanted His disciples to watch. Do not say, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. But behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. For they are already white. They are already white for harvest. Jesus said, I want you to look at the souls of the lost. What are you watching? Jesus, when He saw the multitudes, was moved with compassion. We mentioned that today in our class, Matthew 9, 36. What are you watching? In Matthew 5, 28 and 29, Jesus said, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it were more profitable for you that one of your members perish than that your whole body be cast into hell. What are you watching? Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition? Better throw it in the fire. Pluck it out. Internet pornography? It's an epidemic in our world. Epidemic. It's like drinking sewage. If I were to have a cup of sewage up here, you'd want to drink it? I don't think so. But that's what pornography is. That's what the internet pipes into our computers, into our homes every day. Not to mention television and movies that are predicated upon sin, that advance immoral thinking, immoral conduct, immoral treatment of others. That's entertainment? No, that's not entertainment for God's people. Because we know that what we think ends up being who we are. What we put into our hearts, into our minds, ends up being who we are. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And we can, like the miser, say, eat and drink. We can lay the table of a facade. But by and by, it will be evidence. Because you see, we are what we think. We are what we decide to be. And that means what we're putting into our minds. What are we thinking about? Philippians 4, 8 and 9. What are we meditating? Let the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. What are you thinking about in your life? Every day. What are you thinking right now?
All right, preacher. Now, what are you thinking right now? God knows. I don't know. The Lord does.
Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Shouldn't we be thinking these things? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. So you meditate upon these worthy attributes, and you do the things that you learned from the apostle, that you heard and saw in the apostle, and God will be with you. As a man thinks, that is, as a person thinks. See, we decide. So we're deciding what kind of person we are. Not just what we're going to be. We're deciding what kind of person we are. And this is just a smatter. And this is just an illustration. You can add to the list. But you see, what we're reading, what we're watching, what we're thinking defines who we are. That says who we are. No mystery that we live what we think. The question is, what kind of person will we decide to be? By deciding what we're going to be thinking, what we're going to be putting on our mind. The verse goes on to say, as he thinks in his heart. You see, our heart is the fountainhead of our consciousness, of our character, and of our conduct. We are defined by what is inside us, that is, in our heart. I want you to go to Luke 6 with me a minute. In Luke 6, let's think about this passage for a few minutes. In Luke 6 chapter, in verse 43, Jesus said, a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So we have the good man and the evil man. Here we have Jesus, first of all, talking about trees. Of course, he's illustrating a spiritual point, isn't he? See, a good tree does not bear bad fruit. Now, there's some Texans here and Arkansans and people from the South here who know what a burdock tree is. And they know what kind of apple grows on a burdock tree. Horse apple, right? That's what we used to call them, right? Horse apple. I don't know if you ever saw one, but you wouldn't want to eat it, I can tell you that. Now, you look at the apple trees up here, the red delicious, and all the different kinds they have up here. That old horse apple does not grow on these apple trees up here. Bad fruit doesn't grow on a good tree. And good fruit, I've never seen a red delicious apple on an old burdock tree. That just wouldn't fit. That just wouldn't work. It's just not going to happen. Now that's Jesus' point. Every tree is known by its fruits. You see that old green, dimpled, about that big, a little bigger than my fist, depending on the size of the tree. But it's green, it's dimpled. You know that's not a red delicious apple, that's an old horse apple, and it's worthless. Tree's known by its fruits. But you see the red delicious apple over there. I want one of those. I want some of that. That tastes good. And that's Jesus' illustration about you and me. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. But you see what Jesus said here? The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. I hear some people say sometimes, the person who is in sin, oh, but they've got a good heart. Really? Practicing sin, choosing sin, deciding sin, but they've got a good heart. And I ask, really? Who defines it as good? The world does, but not Jesus.
You cannot bear evil in your life and think yourself good in your heart. Don't we get it? Don't we grasp it? Change the heart, and the fruit will be good. We are defined by what's inside us. I want you to see this in Mark 7. Mark 7. You see, that deception, you know what that deception does? I've got more to say on that. You know what that does? That when we think that way, like the world thinks, we give people comfort in their sin. Oh, you're a good person. Oh yeah, you're not doing what the Bible says, but you're a good person. You got a good heart. Wise up. Start speaking in faith. It's Jesus who said, a good tree does not bear evil fruit. You don't have evil fruit, a horse apple, born by a red delicious apple tree. You just don't do it. Now, oh, but I can't say that. Oh, that just hurts me too much to think that way. You want to think like the world? You are what you think. Don't forget it. How are we thinking about people? How are we thinking about ourselves? Do we think that we can sin against God in our lives? Let's bring it home to you and me. Do I think I can sin against God and yet convince myself I'm a good person, but I'm bearing evil fruit? But I'm a good person. I have a good heart. Really? Do you, Joe? You're practicing things that are sin, and you convince yourself you have a good heart? That's exactly what Jeremiah said. The heart is deceitful above all things. That's a deception. That's the devil's way of sending us to hell. Joining him there. You see, we are what we think, as a man thinks, in his heart. What are you thinking in your heart? It's going to produce a fruit in words and in actions. You see, we need to think the way God thinks, the way Jesus thinks. Jesus taught us this in Mark chapter 7. It's also in Matthew 15. In Mark 7, 14 through 16, he called all the multitude to himself and he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand." Oh, he's telling them, get your heart involved. Hear and understand. Your heart, your mind. There's nothing that enters a man from outside that can defile him. He's talking about food here. The things that come out of him, these are the things that defile a man. If anyone hears, has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, when they got him alone, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?" And so he says, you eat food, that doesn't defile you before God. But what enters your heart is going to defile you, because it's going to come out. Look, whatever comes out of a man, that defiles a man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. There is no getting around it. Our heart is the fountainhead of who we are, of our consciousness, of our character, and of our conduct. That's why we have to cleanse the heart, isn't it? I want you to look at another passage in Ephesians. Ephesians 2 and verse 3, first of all, describes
that we join the Gentiles, we join the sinners, he says, because we were dead in our sins. And in this, he says, among whom also you all once conducted yourselves in the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. There's the heart. And we're by nature children of wrath, just as the others. By practice, by the course of your conduct. Why? Because you fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Desires are in the mind. Sin is practiced by fulfilling what's in the mind. And we were under God's wrath. We were lost. Now look at chapter 4. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility or vanity of their mind. Watch the mind here, and look at the descriptions of the mind of the person lost in sin, having their understanding darkened. Here's a darkened heart that does not understand truth. Being alienated from the life of God, separated from God, because of the, why? Because of the ignorance that is in them. The lack of understanding that's in the heart, because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, no feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You see, from the heart, we are defined in our character and in our conduct. A heart that is darkened, that is removed from truth, that does not accept an understanding of truth, does not have ears to hear, blinded, is past feeling, does not respond to God. It produces sinful living. It produces death. Separation from God eternally. As you think in your heart, that's who you are. That defines you. And so the need is conversion. That text goes on to say, but you did not so learn Christ, if so be that you heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Your heart heard Jesus. Your heart received teaching from Jesus. Truth that is in Jesus came to you, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man that grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, desires, and be renewed, watch it, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is the heart. The renewed heart, the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. It is a conscious decision that we make to turn away from sin, to put sin to death, to put off the old man, changing the heart, and so being saved by the blood of Jesus. Because in faith we repent and obey Him, and are baptized into Him, and are raised to walk in newness of life. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, now speaking to Christians, He said, that you give your body the living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service, a reasonable service. And do not be fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the changing of your heart, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, as a man thinks in his heart. We cannot separate what we're thinking from who we are, because what's in our heart comes out. Comes out. Renewed in the spirit of your mind, he said. And that's going to produce changes in the way we live. 2 Corinthians 7, 10, 11 describes that of people, Christians who had repented. And now they showed by their conduct vindication and a clearing, an indignation toward sin and zeal toward God. Changes were produced in the way they lived because the heart was changed, because conversion occurs through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to by the gospel. Jesus' blood will save us, but we have to have a fundamental heart that's going to turn away from sin. You see, because we are who we think, we are what's in our hearts. And you can come to the water and you can be baptized, but if your heart is not consciously changed by you to put away sin, then the water has no power in it. That's why I said we can't continue in sin. Grace may abound. Romans 6, 1 and 2. Well, one other point to see in this.
As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Our life is defined by what's in our heart. Look at some applications before we close. If you think about yourself, if that's what's on your mind, if that's what you meditate on, if that's what you think, understand that that means you are a selfish person. You are what you think. Lovers of self rather than lovers of God. Now look, think about others. What are you? Well, Romans 12, 10 through 13, you're a caring, giving person. Kindly affectionate toward others. Look, you think about money, what's that passage say? You say, if I love money, I love material things, then I'm greedy. That's the kind of person I am. I'm that miser, that the things that he owned and possessed, he may tell you, oh, eat and drink, but not really. Really, his heart's not with that. He's really a greedy person. On the other hand, that same text, you think about being thankful, what's going to happen? If what you meditate upon in your life is thankfulness to God, and you thank God that you have clothes to wear, and you have a place to lay your head, and you have blessing upon blessing upon blessing, and you're thankful to God, you think about that, you meditate upon thankfulness, that won't make you a greedy person, that'll make you a contented person, a thankful person. You are what you think. So is he. You think about immorality, you become a lustful person. Do you say you think you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart, because you see, you're a lustful person. But if you think about moral purity and you flee fornication, then you develop purity of heart. Then you become pure in heart. You are what you think. That's why we're not to expose ourselves to those things, put those things before ourselves and into our hearts that entice sin. Entice us to be the person we don't want to be. Because we are what we think. You think about deceiving, and that means you're a liar. We're taught to put away lies. But if your thinking process is deception toward others, and it becomes the way you treat other people, that's because you become a liar. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You think about truthfulness and honesty, you become an honest person. Speak truth, each one of you, to his neighbor. You think about being praised by men for your religious life, Jesus says you become a hypocrite. We'll study that tonight, Lord willing. You think you want to be praised by others? Your thinking process is you want others to praise you for your faith, for your religious conduct, then you become a hypocrite. You have your reward, but it won't be heaven. It'll be that praise. On the other hand, if you think about being praised by God, whatever men may say about you, you want God's praise, you want His blessing, then what does that do? That helps you become a humble person, a humble servant of God. To put away hypocrisy. As a newborn babe, long for the spiritual milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, that you may be equipped to serve God. You are what you think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What kind of person are you? What kind of person does the Lord see when He sees your heart? Acts 1:24 says, Lord knows the hearts of all men. He knows my heart and He knows your heart. Everything is laid open before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Hebrews 4:13. So what kind of person are you? That's up to you. It's your choice. Your decision what kind of person you're going to be. And you make it every day. You make that decision every day. Are you a Christian? You make that decision every day. Whether or not you will, for the first time, be forgiven of past sin, that you'll confess Jesus as the Son of God
repent of your sin and be baptized for the remission of sins. You decide. Because God's call goes to you. God is calling you. You decide whether you'll be a Christian, whether you'll be saved from your sins. You're deciding right now if you're outside of Christ. You're deciding right now whether you will be a Christian or not, whether you will be saved or not. But you know, we're also deciding right now whether we'll be a faithful Christian. Not one who simply relies upon some past act, but who is now defined by a heart given to God. Not that because you're given to God you can never sin, because the Bible doesn't teach that. But that we know we have an advocate with the Father. God doesn't want us to sin, but we have an advocate with the Father. And so when we find sin in our lives as a Christian, we humble ourselves to Him and we repent of it to Him. We confess our sin to Him and He forgives us. And we're deciding whether or not we'll be that person, or whether we will be the person that justifies himself or herself in sin, telling ourselves, I have a good heart. That must mean I'm a good person. When in fact, what's in my heart defines whether or not I am good in God's sight. Because you see, the good man out of the good treasure brings forth good things. And the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. What are we bringing forth from our hearts? If there is sin that has been brought forth, brethren, let us repent before God. Let us change our heart. That's what repentance is. Let us change our heart so that it fundamentally then changes how we live to conform to the will of God in all things. Become a Christian. Or if there's sin that you need to correct before your God, do that now. And if it's public, then use this opportunity to make things right or seek the prayers of your brethren. We want to help each other go to heaven. We want to be the people who are defined by those who love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?